When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
This is appropriate. It's a new age. It's a new age in Denver. It's a new age for the Nuggets. It's a new age for the NBA. First time in the 47-year franchise history of the Denver Nuggets that they are into the NBA Finals. Appropriate. For a long time, the Nuggets have been an afterthought, irrelevant, overlooked, the gum on the bottom of the NBA's collective shoe, and for good reason. They languished in mediocrity or worse for decades.
It's true.
They've had superstars go through, but never quite able to put it together. Superstars like Carmelo Anthony, who announced his retirement on Monday. We'll get to that coming up this hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. You can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. Also on our Facebook page, lots of you weighing in about these Nuggets versus the Lakers. The Lakers gave it everything they had. Last night's game separated by just 2 points. They had a 15-point advantage at halftime, couldn't maintain it. We had some weird moments in last night's game, but also history for LeBron James, in addition to being history for the Nuggets franchise. Excited to break it all down with you, plus the reaction from the Nuggets as they've gotten close to their goal, though they would tell you just getting there is not enough. After all this time, it's not enough to just be nominated. They actually want to win the Oscar, the Emmy, the Grammy. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. If you need some pink peony power and perfection to perk you up on this Tuesday, you got to check out the flowers on my Twitter or on Facebook because they will bring you instant joy. Also, it could be a taco Tuesday. Now, I did a taco Saturday. Jade did a taco Saturday, but why not? Oh, I finished the leftovers with my eggs, though. Have you ever had taco meat, so cooked taco meat, as a topping for your eggs? It's delicious.
Sounds very good.
Oh, delicious. I had some left over, and I thought about potentially doing leftover tacos on Monday for dinner instead. It was a garnish for my eggs. And I had put peppers and onions in there as well. So a little more like a fajita style. You enjoyed it.
That was great. Mm. That's like a nice little omelet.
The eggs. Yeah. So good on top of my eggs. And then some shredded mozzarella cheese and a little bit of salsa as a topping.
I like style.
I stopped short of the sour cream, but those eggs were delicious. Penny was sniffing. She was trying to get me to let her have some, but that's a negative, Ghost Rider. So all that to say, Taco Tuesday could also be a Taco Saturday. And why do you care? Well, because LeBron loves Taco Tuesday. See, boom! It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe he was hoping that to really enjoy Taco Tuesday, the Western Conference Finals would have to be extended. So it was a vintage LeBron performance in the first half against Denver last night.
One-on-one against Jokic. Jab steps at him. Backing him in now, picks up his dribble, goes to LeBron, three-pointer, good again. LeBron has 18 points, and we still have 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Lakers lead by 10. And here's a steal by the Lakers. Their defense has been excellent. Hachimura flying to the rim, got there, puts it up, no good. Followed in by LeBron. 27 for LeBron. Timeout, Denver. This is the best game I've seen LeBron play as a Laker. LeBron, top of the key. LeBron dribbling right. LeBron down the middle. 360, spin to the rim and in. This is a clinic by LeBron. He has 29 first half points.
He finished with 31, most ever in a playoff half for LeBron James. So 21 in the first quarter, 31 in the half, and the Lakers are sitting pretty in their own arena, up 15 at the break. John Ireland and Michael Thompson on the Lakers radio network. Now, you know the stat, or if you don't know the stat, I'll tell you the stat. No NBA team has ever rallied after being down 0-3 in a playoff series. No NBA team has ever come back to win that series. But you can't win the series if you don't win a game. The Lakers were just trying to force this series back to Denver. But ultimately, it was a tale of two halves for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Nuggets adjusted on defense. Remember after the opener, all the talk was, Mike Malone got so salty over this. The talk was about how the Lakers made the adjustment on defense. Remember, they ended up trying to think did they put Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic, right? And pulled Anthony Davis kind of back to the back line so he could be the last line of defense. Well, in this second half, it was about the Nuggets' adjustments on defense. I suppose that will be all the rage on this Tuesday. They essentially got as close to LeBron James as they could without violating any laws. They were in his jock. 2-3 defenders to make life extremely difficult for him, forcing the Lakers to move the ball to someone else, forcing LeBron to count on his teammates, except there wasn't a whole lot from his teammates. And in the third quarter, that momentum shifted so drastically to the Denver Nuggets.
Left side Porter, another three. That one's short, tipped by Gordon, won't go. Second one won't go. Rebound Jokic, getting a foul as well. Murray goes to the right hand. He's at the nail, jump shot. Good! Denver's within one, 79-78. Bounce pass Jokic, back over to Casey. Layup, got it, the foul as well! Boy, Denver comes storming back in the third quarter. They have a one-point lead.
That's Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio. Man, that lead disappeared in a flash. Steady Eddie were the Nuggets, and they outscored the Lakers by 20 in the third quarter. Now, the game wasn't over, and because of the intensity of the crowd and the fact that it is LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and it's always the toughest to get that fourth win, this was a fight to the finish. These two teams were relatively even for a good portion of the series. First game was a 6-point win for the Nuggets. I think the second game was only a 5-point win for the Nuggets. Only game three was a double-figure advantage for Denver when the dust settled. But you remember, it was in the fourth quarter where they put together a 13-0 run. So again, that's game number three, which was Saturday. This game, it was their third quarter in which they were able to erase that entire deficit. But what becomes evident over and over as you watch these four games is that the Nuggets had more gas in the tank. They had more energy. They had more explosiveness deep in these games. They had not necessarily more bodies, but younger bodies with less mileage on them. Even as Darvin Ham makes a change in the starting lineup, he puts Rui Hachimura into the starting lineup. He benches D'Angelo Russell. Oh, my goodness. Russell had a miserable series. Last night, didn't even bother to shoot. Only took 1-3. It was so awful that he didn't shoot again. But really, he's gun-shy now. He's a terrible series. I guess that's what happens when Jamal Murray's running your butt all over the court. The Nuggets adjusted on defense. They made life difficult for LeBron James. They waited for someone else to step up, and nobody did. I mean, there were a couple of big shots for Rui, a couple of big shots for Dennis Schroeder, but Anthony Davis was exhausted. It was evident. All that talk about load management from Darvin Ham, how this is what load management is all about.
This is what load management is about.
See what I mean? Quoting directly. This is why you rest your stars during the regular season so that they can give you everything they got. I mean, LeBron played 48 minutes, but he was cramping. He was tired. You could hear it in his post-game press conference, which we'll bring back some of that audio coming up after hours on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, this one went down to the wire, but the tale of the series is that it was too much of the Denver Nuggets. They're too balanced. They had too many options for the Lakers to match wits, to go toe-to-toe. They couldn't, because ultimately the Lakers had two scoring options. That was it. But back and forth down the stretch with everything hanging in the balance.
Rebound grabbed by Hachimura. Gets it ahead of D'Angelo Russell. Lakers can tie or take the lead here. Crowd comes to its feet. Russell, 15-footer good. We're tied at 94. Timeout, Denver. Here's LeBron into the front court. Don't they have to attack Jokic, Michael?
That's right.
There goes LeBron right at Jokic. Lay it up and in.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's just going to get out of the way and concede a layup with five fouls.
I think they should do that every time. Denver 107, Lakers 104. 3:10, go in the fourth.
Jokic picked up by Davis. Takes a tough three. Got it right at the horn! Oh, man!
Here is Schroeder to Reeves, three-pointer, good. So the Lakers get it right back. 110-107, that is the first three-pointer by the Lakers in the second half.
Yeah, the offense was hard to come by. The Lakers scrapped and they clawed and they fought. But once Denver clamped down on LeBron, there just wasn't enough. And whereas Denver picked up the defensive intensity in the second half, the Lakers weren't able to match that. So yeah, give all the credit to LeBron. 20 seasons, a record number of playoff games, his first ever half with 31 points. He did everything he could. But it was too much Nuggets. No one's ever said that before. No one's ever said the Nuggets were too much.
Food or the team.
But I like, I don't know. A 10-piece Nuggets, isn't that too much?
10-piece? No, that's easy. A 50-piece, that's aggressive.
50? No one sells a 50-piece Nuggets.
They do it. McDonald's
Where?
Sells a 50, yeah.
A 50-piece? That's got to be family style. It's got to be for sharing.
It's meant to. It's on the share menu, so.
They have a share menu?
They do, yeah.
Shows you how long since I've been to McDonald's. My mom gives me Wendy's gift cards for Christmas for when I travel. And so I do love Wendy's, but I haven't been to McDonald's in a really long time.
Wendy's works. That's good, too.
Wendy's has good coffee. Oh, I'm sorry. McDonald's has good coffee. Wendy's has the Frosties. You can't beat a Frosty.
Wendy's actually has really good breakfast. Underrated. I think it's the best one.
No, you told me that. And a couple of times I've driven by Wendy's on my way home, because there is one on my way home, maybe 5 miles from my house. But they're never open. At 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, they're not open. So when do they open? How am I supposed to get breakfast if they're not open when I need breakfast?
I guess they all don't do it yet, maybe. I know the one by me doesn't open until 7 a.m. Eastern, which doesn't really work for my way home. It's not open yet when I'm on the way. Yeah.
But what about all those people that start their commutes earlier?
Yeah, they really should open around like 5.
Could you imagine if Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or, let's say, Krispy Kreme didn't open until 7 o'clock?
No, they missed half their morning rush.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
People are already up and out by then.
Seriously, it's an untapped opportunity there for Wendy's. I forgot which one we were talking about for a second.
If you ever do find it open, though, definitely try it. It's good.
Okay. We went from Denver Nuggets and being overwhelming to a 50-piece Nuggets to Wendy's breakfast to missed opportunity. I mean, this is what happens in my spaghetti plate brain. I'm blaming Jay for that one, though. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, back to the moment for the Denver Nuggets. Not that they wouldn't have had other opportunities, but they never led by more than 7 in this game. They worked really hard to erase that big deficit. And with under a minute to go, it was Jokic or bust.
Here we go. KCP gets it into Nikola Jokic, guarded by Davis. He puts it on the floor, gets the elbow. Down the lane. Layup, good!
And one should have been.
Nuggets lead at 113-111, less than a minute to go in game number 4. This is going to go fast, people. Pay attention. Austin Reeves look in. 4 seconds left. 2 points ties it up. LeBron in the paint. Layup, no good. Got his own board. There's the horn! And the Denver Nuggets, for the first time in franchise history, will go to the NBA Finals.
I think it starts with a belief, you know, in themselves, but probably more importantly in the collective, you know, the man next to them. And to beat this team in the Western Conference Finals and to get the first sweep in franchise history, to get the first Western Conference Championship in franchise history, it means a lot. But I speak for 17 players in that locker room and the entire organization. We are not satisfied.
I think it's just like you're happy that you won a game. You beat really, really good team. When you think about, except the first game, every game was so close and every team could won it. And we just find a way to win the game. Especially we were down 15 and to come back and win the game. You know, it was just probably happiness. You know, I think that's the emotions.
We know that they're going to come out aggressive, though. It's less about that and more about us weathering the storm and staying with each other. You know, we're down 15 and a half, and then we came in the third quarter ready to play and ready to take the lead, I think. So it was just a great team effort all around. Everybody came in and stepped up.
Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic with another triple-double. This guy now has 8 triple-doubles in a single playoff run, which is more than any other NBA player in history. He deserves the credit. Even if he looks like a giraffe running up and down the court. And he does. It, to be honest, he doesn't look super athletic. We're not talking about, oh gosh, name someone. I mean, LeBron James, right? Although they're not the same size. Kevin Durant looks more athletic than does Nikola Jokic. And they're roughly the same size. There are times when he looks gangly and awkward and his shoulders are broad. And it almost looks like it hurts when he's out there running up and down the court. But you cannot take away from his productivity and the fact that he's dangerous. And the fact that last night he sunk 2 threes that looked like they were going to be overhead passes. Even LeBron James couldn't believe it. One was over LeBron. The other one was over Anthony Davis. So late in the first half and then late in the game, Nikola has got the ball between his two big palms, his paws, right? So he's got the ball between his paws. He pulls the ball back behind his head like he's going to chuck an overhead pass. That's the proper technique that I taught kiddos when I coached basketball private and gave private lessons. You pull the ball back behind your head and you throw it at a downward trajectory to your intended target. But you're trying to pull it back so you can go cross court to skip past something like that. It's called an overhead pass, or as Jay noted earlier, what you might do to inbound the ball on a soccer pitch. So it looks like a throw-in, except twice they went in the hoop. They were three-pointers. Are you kidding me? And so even as Nikola Jokic is taking these unconventional shots, he's also playing defense. He's clogging the lane. He's setting up his teammates. You may not believe he was the MVP, but you cannot deny that for the top-seeded Nuggets, he has come through every single time they've needed him and now has 8 triple-doubles in these playoffs.
I think he's shown other people nationally that he's
pick
real.
Me.
Like, what he's doing is real. The MVPs are real. The triple-doubles are real. All the narratives, the silly narratives this year, are just that, silly and somewhat ignorant. And I think Nikola has gone through 3 rounds now where he's averaging a triple-double in the playoffs. Have you seen any stat padding out there? I'm serious. Like enough of the silliness. Like, the guy is a great player. Give him his damn respect. Stop chopping him down at the knees, man. He's a great player, and give him the respect he deserves.
Nikola played the final 33 minutes of this game. I mean, so there's a lot being made of LeBron playing 48, but he wasn't as effective down the stretch as Nikola Jokic was. A couple of huge buckets for Jokic with the game hanging in the balance. So we'll deliver the eulogy on the Lakers and wait until you hear what LeBron had to say about his future. It's a danger zone. Never make decisions when you're emotional and exhausted. Not even if you're one of the best basketball players that's ever walked the face of the earth. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. It's always good to connect with you after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's going to totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Get 40% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only 6 organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Lakers trail by 2, season on the line. Austin Reeves gets it into LeBron. LeBron attacks the rim, drives, puts it up. No good, game over, Nuggets win, and Denver is going to the NBA Finals. Final score, Nuggets 113, Lakers 111, and that's it. Michael, I thought LeBron got fouled. There was no whistle.
Stop it.
The Nuggets win the series 4-0.
Thought he was trying to get downhill, man. And again, I mean, not to use any excuses or make any excuses,
nope.
But there's contact on just about every play in the NBA. Now, when you drive the ball and what's considered a violation and what's not, what's called and what's not, it's like I'm oblivious. Like, I don't know. And so all you want is fairness and consistency. It's something that I've always said, so... just trying to get the ball in the hands of our best player.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No, Darvin Ham. No, absolutely not. I'll give LeBron credit because he did not say anything about the officials. There were calls in this game that were questionable. There were ticky-tacks. There were calls that were missed, of course, because it's humans who are making the calls. The calls have nothing to do with the Nuggets rallying from 15 points down at half, nothing to do with the fact that they outlasted the Los Angeles Lakers in every single one of these games. And think about it, in multiple games in this series, they had to rally from double figures down. The Lakers ran out of gas, pure and simple. LeBron was double teamed on that final possession. They only had 4 seconds anyway because they'd wasted so much time before. How about... don't run 20-something seconds off the clock and then leave yourself 4 for an inbounds play. LeBron was tired. I get it. He's the best option. Nobody else was really stepping up. If possible, AD was even more exhausted than LeBron, who was cramping late in this game. But the Nuggets played it perfectly. They rotated. They helped. When LeBron swung the ball and was trying to get an angle around Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray got 2 hands on it. And so even though LeBron was strong enough to kind of muscle it up as best he could, he didn't get a clean look at it, and he didn't get high enough on the glass with 4 seconds left. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. LeBron had 31 in the first half. He did everything he could, but only 9 in the second half. Again, you can only ask one human to do so much.
He came out with a mindset to keep this thing going. He came in the building, as he's been all year, all throughout the playoffs, with a focus, a determination to get it done by any means necessary. And, you know, I just thank them all. I mean, it's great, the competitive spirit. You know, it was phenomenal. You know, from day one, getting to this point from which we came, you know, digging ourselves out of a deep, deep hole, and being able to be a part of this 2023 NBA postseason and then become one of the final four teams, you know, it was a hell of a year, hell of an experience, and hell of a turnaround. Did a complete 180. And, you know, he was a big part of that in terms of his communication, his leadership, he and AD both. And he just came out ready to go.
For me, it's just, you know, just a mindset, you know, and training the mind. You know, if you train the mind, the body will fall where it may and, you know, take care of the rest. So, you know, knowing coming into a game where I may have to play a full game, that's just my mindset.
He did play nearly 48 minutes, left the arena with a couple of seconds left in the first half, so not quite 48 minutes. However, while I appreciate what he says about the mindset, and there may be no one who's more mentally tough than LeBron, I mean, he's seen it all on the basketball court, but your body will only do what your body will do. And his body gets tired too. He took a lot of pounding in this series. So did Jokic. There was a good physical back and forth between these two teams. Ultimately, in the second half, they made LeBron work so hard. And he was cramping. And there were times when he was down on the court. There were times when he was sucking wind. It's just life. Especially when you're 38. Is he 38? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Anthony Davis, he was a shrinking violet. Remember how he had a huge game in the opener and the Nuggets ended up winning anyway because, again, they rallied from a deficit. But then we were talking about the fact that likely there would be games where he wasn't able to take as many shots, where he wasn't able to be quite so dominant. Both the Lakers and the Nuggets had very short benches in this series. And they did make a change in the starting lineup last night. But for the Lakers, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they were playing more than 40 minutes. You can only ask these guys to do so much. AD did have 21 points and 14 rebounds and did have a couple of big shots late. But he just didn't have enough in terms of defense, right? Like Nikola Jokic was able to move around at will. And there were times he's backing him down. The Nuggets made him work, and ultimately, Lakers ran out of gas. And so, yeah, at this point, who cares about the turnaround? AD says, we didn't get where we wanted to be.
Obviously, it hurts right now, especially the way, you know, we lost, not only tonight, but, you know, I think we gave away three games, and then we had tonight. It was just tough. I mean, you know, credit to Denver, obviously. They're a great ball club, number one team for a reason. You know, their players play well, you know, throughout the entire series. But it's tough. Hurts, stings. And, you know, we got to carry it into the next season. You know, keep this feeling, remember this feeling, and use it as fuel.
Me and AD were just talking in the locker room for a little bit. I think we came to the consensus this, you know, if not one of the best, probably the best team that we've played since we've been together for our 4 years. They're just well orchestrated, well put together. They have scoring, they have shooting, they have playmaking, they have smarts, they have length, they have depth. One thing about their team, when you have a guy like Joker who, as big as he is, but also as cerebral he is, you can't really make many mistakes versus a guy like that. even when you guard him for one of the best possessions that you think you've guarded him, he puts the ball behind his head, Larry Bird style, and shoots it 50 feet in the air, and it goes in. I think he did it like 4 or 5 times this series.
Well, to be fair, LeBron actually had a pass that went in as a three-pointer last night, too. It was this line drive pass that was intended for, I think it was Rui. He was under the hoop, and he was out on the three-point arc. So LeBron kind of chucks it, and it's a strange, it's a high line drive, and it goes through the hoop. So he had one, too, if, you know, we're going to be equitable. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He finishes one assist shy of a triple-double, and he does have 40 points in this game, 31 coming in the first half. As for Jokic, 30 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 steals, and foul trouble. He played a good chunk of the second half in foul trouble, including the final stages with 5. So he was out there having to be really careful, too, which means when you walk the tightrope, it's even more impressive. So LeBron and AD agreeing this was the toughest opponent they faced. And that's saying something, because remember, they faced the Nuggets in the bubble in 2020 in the Western Conference Finals. It's been an arc for the Nuggets. It's been an incredible journey for them, one that goes back to the seeds that were planted in the bubble. And the leadership of a salty Mike Malone and the indefatigable Nikola Jokic, who will do anything that he needs to on the court. Jamal Murray, healthy and now explosive again, running D'Angelo Russell ragged. Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, who won't back down. Bruce Brown, who wants to get in your face and yap, but also plays tough defense. This is a team that can beat you a variety of ways. And while it wasn't a massive margin of victory, meaning not overwhelming, the Nuggets didn't overwhelm the Lakers. 4 wins in a row is 4 wins in a row. And teams that fall into an 0-3 hole in an NBA playoff series are now 0-150. So Celtics, what do you think? Are you going to be number one? Well, you got to start with one. We'll hear from Malcolm Brogdon coming up as the Celtics prepare to stave off elimination, if possible, in Miami on Tuesday night. But one more, I promise this. LeBron James asked about his future multiple times in his postgame press conference, but not until the very end. I don't know if he's trolling us. Does he get a little more reflective about what happens next?
We'll see what happens going forward. But I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. And just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, got a lot to think about.
That was how LeBron ended his postgame press conference. If you missed our conversation with Michael Duarte, who was there in L.A. for NBC L.A., he gave us his perspective on LeBron and what happens next, and why he believes LeBron will continue to play. There are a couple of very specific reasons. But here's the deal. Even LeBron, he's human. He's exhausted. He's emotional. As human beings, we should never make important decisions when we're exhausted and emotional. When we've given everything we've got, and we've come up short. We see it in sports all the time, but it's human nature. I know better than to make decisions when I'm real emotional as well, because it changes how we feel. Sometimes our emotions can lead us in the wrong direction. And how many times do we hear Tom Brady talk about taking some time? Even Peyton Manning, when he was 40 years old, took some time before he announced his retirement because he wanted to think about it and make sure he was doing the right thing for himself and his family. But again, speaking as an emotional girl, don't make decisions when you're exhausted and your emotions are running wild.
Chicken Parmesan.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Tastes so good.
Or when you're hungry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Game three of the 2023 Eastern Conference Final belongs to the Heat. Largest margin of victory of this postseason for Miami as they win by 26 and improve, just like their counterparts over in the West, to 3-0 in this Eastern Conference Final.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No longer Jason Jackson on the Miami Heat Radio Network. Of course, that was Sunday evening when the Heat embarrassed the Celtics in Game 3 and did it without really needing the second half. In fact, none of the starters, well, Marcus Smart may have played the first stages of the fourth quarter for Boston, but otherwise, the starters were resting in the fourth quarter. Heat enjoying their rest far more than the Celtics in that game. It was a stunner. Not because the Heat won. That's not the deal. It's because the Celtics lacked energy and intensity and focus and discipline and a sense of urgency. And somehow this became Joe Mazzulla's fault. Somehow this became the coach's fault because he didn't know what to say to them. Stop it. These are professionals. They're grown men who play basketball for a living and have been to the NBA Finals. It's almost the exact same group. Not exactly, but almost. Malcolm Brogdon, in addition, who does have a championship. They should know better. They do know better. And I appreciated that Al Horford and Jaylen Brown were taking accountability, among others, following game number 3. So now what? Where do they go from here? Are they about to be swept out of town like the Lakers? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pointed comments from Brogdon on Monday. In fact, he even said that the Celtics maybe lost their identity a little bit, and this is not like them.
I think in these playoffs overall, I think it's showing because we're playing a very disciplined, consistent, well-coached team. But I think in the Atlanta series, I think in the Philly series, I think we got away with things that now are biting us. So, you know, that's definitely troubling.
What do you think of some of those things?
Yeah.
What she said.
I think it's mainly on the defensive end. You know, we haven't been consistently great defensively all year long, and that was the team's identity last year. And I think that's slipped away from us. We've had spurts where we've been great defensively, but not consistently. And honestly, we've struggled in every series we've played. So, you know, now we're playing a team that's playing, you know, as if they're the best team in the league. And they're just incredibly disciplined, incredibly consistent. And I think we've struggled with teams that, you know, are consistent on a, you know, possession by possession basis every night.
I just want to correct myself. Didn't Brogdon go through Indiana? He wasn't part of the Bucks team that won the championship. I don't think so. I just, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm pretty sure he went through the Pacers. He went from Bucks to Pacers and then went to Boston. So definitely his first year in Boston. But I don't think he was part of the Bucks championship in 2021. Just to make sure I correct that as I'm listening to him talk about the Celtics identity crisis. And I had said, going back to the Atlanta series, that the lack of a defensive intensity and the lack of discipline on defense made me nervous for these Celtics because this is not the same defense that they're capable of, number one. Number two, not the same defense that Ime Udoka got them to play last year on their run to the NBA Finals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even more pointed by Brogdon, he kind of says the team doesn't have the mental toughness. They tend to... they tend to get punched in the mouth and not punch back when it doesn't work out according to their initial plan. They need to be more mentally tough.
I think we're a team that, you know, all year long, you know, has relied on making shots. When we don't make shots, you know, our defense wanes, it slips. And it's something we've talked about. It's something we've tried to work on. It's something we've been extremely aware to, but it's, you know, continued to be an issue for us.
How about that? Malcolm Brogdon just putting it out there. When we don't make shots, it affects our mental toughness. It affects our minds, and it also affects our defense. We're too worried about missing shots. We're not worried about getting back on defense and playing with that same intensity and focus. So this is Monday afternoon. They're in Miami, and Brogdon's talking about teams with a strong identity, Miami being one of those teams, but not us. They're super committed to their identity, and I've said that too. Miami Heat know who they are. They don't try to be something they're not. Still, though, the series is not over, and if you're going to get back into it, well, you got to start tonight.
We still believe we're the better team. We have not played like it in the other three games. But there's, you know, there is always a first.
Well, they'd be the first in 151 teams, first of 151 teams to be down 0-3 to come back. But yeah, it starts with the first. We still believe we're the better team, but we just haven't played like it. I wonder if anybody else believes that too, outside of the Celtics locker room. Are the Celtics the better team? I say no. Do they have better individual players across the board? Okay, yeah. 7 undrafted players on the Heat postseason roster. But are they the better team? Heck no. The chemistry, the cohesion, the mental toughness, the discipline, the professionalism, all of those intangibles give the Heat an edge and their defense. So I disagree with Malcolm. Again, are they better on paper because of who their superstars are? Sure. Do they have more experience in these situations? Well, collectively, maybe. But the Heat have a chemistry that gives them an edge. They trust each other. They play for each other. They're battle-tested. They've been through a ton of adversity. All of these elements that we talk about with teams that had to fight, scratch, and claw just to get to the postseason, it's working for the Miami Heat. Game 4 coming up tonight in South Florida. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Can we hear from Carmelo before we get out of here as he announces his retirement on Monday?
I remember the days when I had nothing, just a ball on the court and a dream of something more. But basketball was my outlet. My purpose was strong, my communities, the cities I represented with pride, and the fans that supported me along the way. I am forever grateful for those people and places because they made me Carmelo Anthony. But now the time has come for me to say goodbye to the court where I made my name, to the game that gave me purpose and pride. But this bittersweet goodbye to the NBA, I'm excited about what the future holds for me.
Carmelo Anthony, 6 different franchises, including Denver, including New York, including Portland. Why can I remember the other ones?
Lakers.
Oh, that's right. He was with the Lakers briefly. Houston? Was he in Houston?
Oh, he was actually for a second.
He was in Houston.
I know he was with the Hawks for a minute, but I don't think he ever played.
Was he?
Yeah, they did.
I don't think he dressed.
I think they trolled him by, they tweeted out like, thank you, Carmelo, with his jersey.
Oh, and that's just mean. Nearly 2 decades, though, so he made a lot of money as an NBA player. Not in the league this year, so retires as, get this, the number 9 scorer in NBA history. There's something to be said for that. Longevity. 28,289 points. Also, as a Syracuse alum, he and the Orange won the national championship on my birthday in 2003. That was pretty sweet. He played for Team USA in the Olympics. He's got 3 gold medals. There's also something to be said for that. So congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. We'll hear about LeBron's assessment of Melo, one of his BFFs, and we'll talk Miami-Boston coming up tonight. Have a great Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.